Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. It is I, the Blue Ranger, Michael, joined by, once again, the Red Ranger, Sasha.
Yeah, I'm here.
But you already knew that, because if you listened to the last episode, we already told you we're going to be on this episode.
Back to back?
We do a lot of back-to-back episodes.
It happens.
This episode, we're going to be doing The Millennium Message, A Drive to Win, and Cars Attacks. Two of these are semi-decent. One of them is just outright bad. We're just going to warn you in advance.
So bad.
And as Sasha's shirt says, which you can't see, nope. It's a fair sentiment on that last episode.
Well, we'll get there when we get there.
Yep. So starting with the Millennium Message, the Blue Centaurian arrives from the future to tell the Power Rangers that their enemies will join forces and conquer Earth. However, he is captured by Divatox and reprogrammed to arrest the Rangers.
He is not, in fact, reprogrammed. They make a point of that you can't change. They changed his perception, not who him. It's weird. They explain it.
Listen, you told me to read the synopsis on the Ranger Wiki, and I did exactly what you told me to do. Anyways, we are at the juice bar, and we have Bulk and Skull plotting to try to turn back from monkeys, but an earthquake happens.
Which is not actually an earthquake. There's no seismic activity. It is actually debris falling to Earth, conveniently to Angel Grove, where all space debris falls.
It's not like we have deserts in, like, New Mexico or something that they can fall into.
Or literally, like, any other part of the world. But Divatox is also not responsible for this. It's like there's a spaceship heading to the power chamber and it like breaks apart upon entry. Oh, that's what it is. The power chamber is an intergalactic magnet.
No wonder those asteroids keep coming towards Angel Grove.
So Divatox ends up finding this police robot looking figure called we find out his name is the Blue Centaurian. And she turns him on, I guess. And then he brings this weird message from the future that says that the bad guys are going to team up. And Divatox doesn't like that idea because it means she doesn't get to defeat the Rangers and win.
But while she's doing this, she's also impersonating Demetria to fool the Blue Centaurian.
Perfection.
It also helps when you're the same actress.
Yes. So it's really well done, but it's weird that like his sensors can't detect like the person, but can detect the voice. But look at me trying to ask logical questions in Power Rangers. What logic? You can breathe on the moon.
Let's see how Neil Armstrong's doing on the moon without that spacesuit.
But there's another part to this millennial message, and this is important, where, like, he says something along the lines of, like, the message is from the year 2000, and there's only one thing that stands in the bad guy's way, and we don't get to find out what that is. It just really, really annoys Divatox. So that the entire rest of this episode is really just they put a bomb inside the Blue Centaurian, and they turns out they can't actually turn him evil. But I take back my earlier comment. What they actually explain is that, or Porto explained, that he's an intergalactic police officer, so he can't be turned evil. I guess police corruption just doesn't exist in space. But they can mess with his perception, so they can't make him be evil, but they can make him think the Rangers are evil. Has this been done like 5,000 times already?
Anything to get a new ally.
I feel like we've seen this premise of turning a good thing and to making the other thing think the Rangers are evil. I don't know. Maybe I've just been rewatching too many other seasons of Power Rangers.
But you know what? When we get to the next scene, we see Tommy beating up on a poor defenseless Piranatron and Blue Centaurian to the rescue. And then
Yeah, so the entire like rest of this episode is basically just the Rangers trying to like they fight with the Blue Centurion, then deprogram the Blue Centurion and capture the Blue Centurion and deactivate the bomb inside the Blue Centurion, who's very sensitive. The fights are kind of lame and but oh, I'm sorry. It says BS fight rain fights Rangers. That's not a BS fight. That's a Blue Centurion fight.
we did both.
That moment, true. That moment when your own shorthand, you forget it. Also, the Blue Centurion has his own Zord slash can turn into a Zord. What?
Yeah, he has a car that turns into a Zord.
Because cars.
And it's just great because
Transformers.
it's so great. Oh, the hell with Transformers, never liked that show or movie franchise, but it's so funny watching the Blue Centurion driving his police car, Zord. And then you see all these little tiny police cars around in the area too. It's like, here comes Papa police car driving by his kids.
This is how Space Patrol Delta really starts.
Yes. It's all because of the Blue Centurion.
There's also this really funny little bit where once they have the Blue Centurion and he's a good guy again, Alpha shows up.
Well,
He sort
before
of
we
just like
even get
flies
there,
in.
even before we get there, there's a moment where you clearly see that it's the Green Ranger speaking, but Tanya is heard talking. The like the
Adam.
green like Adam's head is moving, like he's the one talking, but it's Tanya who's speaking, which is like, how does this work? And then yes, Alpha 6 shows up and takes like 20 years to cut the wires. Like, seriously, Alpha 6, this is why we don't like you. Just cut the wires and go away, okay? And don't say a word.
So then they bring, so they deactivate the bomb. They bring this the Blue Centurion back, who apparently just like can't remember. Just tell them the rest of the message because the hologram gets degraded. What's interesting is in the hologram we do see Diva Talks, but we also see like Lord Zedd and Rita.
And I believe the
Like
Machine Empire as well.
I think so, yeah. Which sets up what we're gonna see very, very soon, but. They don't get the part about the what was it? Only one thing stands in the way of this United Alliance of Evil.
Me and a dude in a tube?
It's not clear. We don't know what it is. We just know that it very much annoys Diva Talks and she gets very cranky.
Yeah.
So they don't know that part. All they know is that. Because, like, my first thought, oh, there's only one thing that stands in their way of their invasion of Earth, the Power Rangers. But could be the blue head and tube. Who knows? We haven't seen Zordon in a while. He's gone. He's back at Eltar. So,
Yes.
you know, I'm sure
So, one
we'll never see
note,
him again.
every time Blue Centurion was on screen, there was always quacking sounds.
I did not notice that, and that is weird.
I
Why?
noticed it, so I watched it before this recording, and it's like every time like he did something, there would be like a quack before and a quack after.
Could you define the quack? Like
It's
a duck tail? Like a duck quack or like
Yeah, it
some
sounded
weird
like a duck
sound?
quack or like a piece of machinery within him like doing something weird. Like you know how like sometimes you'll hear like the little gizmos and it'll get
Cogs and things, bits and bobs.
yeah, it just sounded like a quacking sound to me. So, couple notes for this episode. Reason it's called the Millennium Message is because the message the Blue
It's from
Centurion
the
put
year 2000. It's not that deep. Yeah.
yes, but the thing is here's the key thing though. Obviously, it projects the foreshadowing of the United Alliance of Evil. However, it's said that the invasion will occur in 2000 rather than 1998.
Right.
It could be that after Blue Centauri arrived in the past, history was altered so that the invasion occurred early. Behind the scenes, Power Rangers was actually in danger of cancellation due to Turbo's decline in ratings, so the date was moved up in case the show was canceled before 2000.
Yeah, they definitely, yeah, but I think it's both, right? It's outside canon versus in canon explanation.
Yeah.
So it would make sense that the Blue Centurion's arrival, and I'm sure Diva Talks sends a message to Her totally, I can't believe it's not her fiance, being like, hey, boss man, just received this random message about the year 2000. Why are we gonna wait like 3 more years? Like, let's get the party started.
Yeah, pretty much.
Call Rita, see if the machine empire is finished rebuilding itself.
Yeah, so that is the Millennium Message. Next up, we have a Drive to Win, which sees Adam coaching the Angel Grove high school soccer team, in which their star
Which,
pl
again, are they students or did they graduate already? I'm so confused. I asked this question last time.
Yep, in which their star player Carlos needs to learn a serious lesson about teamwork. Both he and the head cheerleader, Ashley, are targeted by Divatox, who plants a detonator in the scoreboard while the ba Power Rangers battle Electrovolt. So.
Interesting episode that introduced two interesting new characters. I wonder if we're ever gonna see them again.
So. It's soccer time in Angel Grove Park. Adam is coaching, as I've already mentioned in the synopsis, and we are introduced to Carlos officially. And Adam is trying to teach him about teamwork because Carlos is more of the I can do it on my own type of player.
It's not even just that. It's the fact that like there's some nerdy looking guy that he doesn't know if
Barry.
he can even play Scott. Yeah, Barry. Right? And he's like, but I want to win. And Adam's like, but there's more to winning than just, there's no I in team. It's very simple. But what's interesting here is that when the Piranatrons attack, Carlos space to help, and he actually managed to get some hits into the Piranatrons. They're not very good because they're civilians without augmented energy from being Rangers or whatever. But it's cool to see like non-Rangers helping, right? This reminds me a little bit of like when we were introduced to Adam and Aisha. What's his name? Rocky. Haha. Took me a minute.
Yeah, he's only been gone for like 2 seasons at, or for almost half a season at this point.
Yeah. So anyway, it's interesting to see, and this feels like an introduction to New Rangers, which obviously it is. But it sets them up. It gives them a little bit of development, at least for Carlos. Beforehand. And then this is so funny to me because like I legit did not remember this episode. So to see Carlos flirting with Ashley just like did not compute in my brain. Like, what ever happened with this?
And then you have Ashley flirting back to him at the end of the episode.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah. So anyways, we as Sasha mentioned, the Piranatrons do attack the soccer practice. Adam fights them off with the help of Ashley and Carlos. And then Carlos walks Ashley home, which is where the first set of flirting begins. And then a little later on, it's now time for the big game. Divatox is cheering for Carlos because if Carlos scores 4 goals, the detonator will go off, that which has been placed inside the
At least
scoreboard.
it's not on a timer this time.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get there. We'll get there. While this
How much
while
chaos Divatox could actually accomplish if she, like, gee, I don't know, set a shorter timer?
Yeah, obviously with Divatox cheering for Carlos, he scores the th his third goal of the game, and when he goes to Ashley to say, "Hey, did you like that goal?" She's not impressed by his third goal because of the fact that he essentially just took the ball off of Barry again to score the goal. So he was being a selfish player. Adam gets a call
So
in the
cringe.
communicator. And the Rangers then have to morph into action. And Adam doesn't have time for Elgar and Electrovolt's crap. Like, he just has no time for it. He wants to get back and just coach his soccer game because it's the biggest game of the year. So
That's why
he.
he's a goat. It is a game against Stone Canyon. Now, why
Yes.
does Stone Canyon matter?
Because they're the rival. And it's also where we got Aisha, Aisha, Rocky, and Adam from.
There's another reason that we will get to it when we get to it.
Yep. But
It's not a
anyways, Adam is like, I don't have time for your crap. And he just outright wrecks Elgar and Electrovolt on his own, to which then they
Are you just reading your notes, or are you re just continuing to read the episode
No, I'm
summary?
reading my notes.
Okay.
Because actually they didn't give me any plot notes on the w Ranger Wiki. They just have a synopsis. Then it's Megazord and Blue Centaurian for the win. And then Justin somehow is able to reach the here's the thing. Justin reaches his hand for this very tiny hole. How is he able to move his arm effectively to get to the detonator properly?
There's a very simple explanation.
Shut up, Gosei. Anyways. But anyways, Justin deactivates the detonator. Divatox is sad because Barry scores the fourth goal and the thing obviously does not go off. And then you get more flirting from Ashley and Carlos. And that
Which
is.
again is really weird.
So yeah, that was the end of that episode of A Drive to Win. And it should be noted that both the last episode, The Millennium Message, was written by Mark Litton, and this episode is written by Jackie Marchand. Both episodes were directed by Larry Litton. So I mean, I'm guessing Larry
So,
and Mark are brothers.
it's a good episode.
And then, which brings us now to Cars Attacks. I'm going to say this now. It was written by Douglas Sloan.
On, you forgot one very important note here.
Oh.
At the end of this episode, Divatox says that she won't let the Millennium Message come to pass. Keep in mind, the only thing we know about this Millennium Message is that the bad guys are going to invade Earth and something is going to be there to stop them.
Yeah.
So, what is it? What part of this message is she not going to let come to pass?
Yep.
Asking the real questions here, folks.
Yep. But anyways, we're going into Cars Attacks, written by
We have
Douglas.
to.
Yeah. Written by Douglas Sloan and directed by Judd Lynn.
Okay, but what if we don't? Just like end the episode here, like, okay, bye.
How's this? How's this? Synopsis: The monster Wolfgang Amadeus Griller.
That no. Just no.
Gonna let that name sink in for a minute. Wolfgang Amadeus Griller
He just
manipulates
looks
the.
like a car. There's no Amadeus. There's no Mozart. This is just my brain hurts.
Manipulates the automobiles of Angel Grove to fly around and destroy the city after the Rangers successfully destroy one of Divatox's detonators. Meanwhile, Kat teaches Lieutenant Stone's niece, Jenny Hunter, to learn to trust other people.
That's not what happened to this episode.
So.
Okay, so let's start with the fact that there's a girl that has this like flash dance moment, and Catherine sees her like dancing or whatever, and she's like, "Oh wow, you're really great. Did you do the like is this your own routine?" And the girl just like snides at Catherine and walks away. It turns out that she is Lieutenant Stone's niece, whose mom basically like shipped her to his house for the summer. So it is summer. So explain to me how in the previous episode, Adam was coaching. Did summer happen after? But soccer is played in the fall? Oh, Power Rangers. I quit. I quit. I'm done. I'm done. Record the rest of the season without me. I can't.
Too late. You've already recorded episodes for the rest of the season, and we still have two episodes.
Has finally broken me. I can't. But okay, all of that aside, it's summer, allegedly. And there's also auditions that Catherine is really excited for some fancy dance school, question mark, like a conservatory or whatever.
Yeah, like over in London.
In jolly old London. Also, like, whoever did the choreography for this episode, like a little bit more effort, please. Like, you can't see this, but like a more effort to make it set, look less basic. Also, at one point later on, the Catherine and Tanya are attacked by the Piranatrons, and they get back to the base, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, we couldn't have done it without the Blue Centurion." I'm like, "Yes, because you've never fought the Piranatrons by yourselves ever. How could you have survived without the Blue Centurion?
Yeah, I know. It's
It's
actually
not like you're Power Rangers or anything."
it's actually better when Blue Centurion comes back later on in the episode when him and Tommy eliminate. As I bring up the name once again, just to break Sasha some more, Wolfgang Amadeus Griller. They didn't even need the Megazord for Wolfgang. For the record, Sasha is taking a deep breath. She's compartmentalizing everything that is going on with the name of
I can hear
Wolfgang.
Mozart. I can hear Mozart turning over in his grave. I can hear it. All the way in America, I can hear it.
Wolfgang
So
Amadeus Griller.
it should, like, in between all of this, Catherine's in her audition, which we never see her audition, but we see this other girl, which again, I
No,
think they were like
she
test.
does she no no she does the initial audition. We do see her dance in the initial
Did
audition.
we?
Yes, she
Catherine.
yes, Catherine does dance in the initial audition because she's
I
this
don't remember that, but okay.
because Jenny shows up late after Kat has finished her
Ah,
audition.
okay.
It's
Fair,
the
fair.
so then they do the callbacks where they call back five of the women, Jenny and Kat being two of them.
Right. Okay. My
And
bad.
then
My bad.
yeah, we
I
see
was so traumatized by Wolfgang Amadeus, whatever his name is.
Griller.
Sure. That it just that the rest of the episode is a blank now. But okay. So Jenny arrives late and has like she sticks her for okay so for the little children listening to this podcast.
We're
So
so
before
sorry.
we had Spotify and before CDs, there were these little cassette things, and you had to put the cassette into the little cassette player and hit an actual button so that the music played, and you had to make sure that you rewound the tape to the correct spot before you hit play, and that you inserted the right side.
And on top of that, if you had a problem with the tape player, you had to take a pencil and rewind the tape manually yourself.
Well, you had to rewind, do that. Yes.
But no, because remember, the tape players could eat the tape sometimes.
That's true, yes. But in this case, that didn't happen.
Or
So Jenny
did
does her
it?
like, I don't know if this is supposed to be like some professional ballet school, but like, no offense to Jenny, but she's not getting in.
Well, I mean, it was like one of those conservatory academies or something like that. So,
Right, but it has to be at least like a collegiate level thing because Catherine's graduated high school. So this is like a, like, I don't know, like a Juilliard or something fancy. But whatever. There's a lot of car puns also in this episode.
as one would expect.
So basically they fight the monster, they defeat the monster. Catherine just arrives in the nick of time for oh no, I'm sorry, rewind. Ha ha, there's a point where they have to find the detonator, right? Which is like a thing in every episode. In this case, the detonator was where, Michael?
In the tape player.
So they took out poor Jenny's, basically they took Jenny's tape and the tape player and destroyed it.
Yep. And she was not happy.
Yeah. Also, there's a point once again where they say like great job Catherine or like great job Kat with an earshot of everyone in the freaking audition room.
Did we ever say they were smart? Like,
Can
here's the thing.
we just get to power transfer? I'm done with this.
Oh, you mean passing the torch?
Whatever, same thing.
So, I mean, the interesting thing about it all is that, like, going back to the secrecy of the whole thing, like, you had it like in Mighty Morphin, like the first three seasons, like they're pretty good about hiding their identities, with the exception of the one time, when you're introduced to, Aisha, Adam, and Rocky, because of the whole, multi-episode thing where it's like, oh, Billy got attacked by the said snake and they had to take his helmet off and that revealed their identities to them and all this other
So
stuff. But like,
far, if we're going.
but then when you get into Zeo, that kind of safety of like protecting the identity kind of starts going out the window a little bit. And now in Turbo, it's kind of going out the window a little bit more. It's like they ain't following the rules.
Also, it's interesting in this episode, or in the last like three episodes. We're seeing all of these like potential rangers. So like our right, so we have so far we've got Reggie, we have Jenny, and then we have Carlos and Ashley.
Wait,
It
no, Re
like
no, Reggie never showed up.
I
Reg
know
or
I'm getting,
TJ.
I know.
Oh no. Oh, okay. No, I know what you're talking about now. Never mind. I had a brain fart. Brain fart.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time. So we have all of these, like, it's almost like they're bringing in these actors on set to test them to see how they mesh, how their acting works against each other, against another ranger, right? So, like, with Carlos and Adam and Ashley, there was really good chemistry there. With Reggie, there was like a little bit, and there's none whatsoever between Catherine and Jenny to make it look seem like she could be another ranger. So, I think I wonder if there was these were like little weird introduction slash chemistry tests. That didn't work out. So then they had to event and then they had to like recast and do some other stuff that eventually leads us to TJ and Cassie. I have no knowledge of any way, shape, or form if this is true or not. This is just theorizing based off what happened. But there's another bit here where Lieutenant Stone's the money in the till goes missing and he blames Jenny and Jenny gets upset and then it turns out it wasn't Jenny, it was Monkey Bulk and Monkey Skull. Yeah. So Jenny does not get the audition. Or she doesn't get the spot. But also Catherine kind of indirectly, she didn't mean to, but she technically sabotaged Jenny's audition.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously she didn't mean to sabotage the audition. It was just one of those things
That.
where it's like, you gotta do your job as a Power Ranger. But like, one of the nicer things is that they also kind of did a swerve, because normally, like, at the end of some episodes, when you have conflict between like a random character and one of the main characters, it's like at the end, it's like all water's under the bridge. And like, and Jenny kind of points that out and kind of says, oh, is this when we're gonna like, like be best friends now? And like, Kat just kind of goes like, I don't know if I want to be your friend. You're kind of a jerk, you know?
Well, all she's done is be kind of snooty, right? And like, she got upset with Lieutenant Stone for accusing her of stealing, which, like, valid. But she's so mean. She's like very unnecessarily hostile to Catherine in this episode. I think maybe it was supposed to like start the beginning of like a potential friendship that could have played out over like a secondary episode or in the passing of the torch. That just didn't work out because it didn't work out.
Yeah. So, and then Stone
But
does,
yeah.
but Stone does apologize to Jenny for his rash conclusion that she had taken the money, and they make up, and then
You'd
she does
think
have
a
this,
cop
and then
would
she,
know how to investigate.
yeah, I know, but then she has that moment at the end. This is how they end the episode, where like Kat and Jenny are smiling to each other. It's like, all right, that's okay-ish.
Sure.
Yeah. Or as it says on your shirt, nope.
I think there's something on the back too, but I don't remember what it. Oh
You
no,
have
sorry. Never mind. That's a different shirt. I have another Stitch shirt that says something like "Not today," or "I don't think so" on the back, something like that.
Yeah.
Me and
So
Matt, two Disney shirts.
that was Cars Attacks.
The cars did indeed attack, and they were very forgettable.
But remember the name of Wolfgang
No,
Amadeus Griller.
will forget his name as soon as we hit, as soon as we end this episode, and I will never think of him, it, they again.
And then we'll make sure to bring it up in the season finale.
And then Mike has a little accident. So guys, if you don't hear from Mike next season, this is why. Sasha finally snapped and Michael didn't. He knew what he was doing. He asked for it.
So with that, Sasha, where can the people find you on social media?
At Geeky Kaplan on Blue Sky and Twitter. I am on Blue Sky. I sometimes will forget to mention it because, and if I don't mention it, it's probably because these episodes were recorded out of order, as we often do, based on, people's schedules and life. But yeah, Geeky Kaplan with a K after the greatest superhero in the Marvel Universe, Billy Kaplan.
And you can find me on Twitter at TheLindemann75, which is also my Blue Sky as well. Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, Twitch at twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75. And
Show on Twitter at VFTG underscore PR.
click the link to the link tree to go to everything on how you can find the show itself. And with that, until our next phenomenal episode.
May the power protect you and save you from Wolfgang Amadeus Griller.
Wolfgang Amadeus.